Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Ron Senge today, live nationwide and around the world, as we start our 33rd year of doing this nationally syndicated show. And Sunday, January 8th, is the 88th birthday of the King of Rock and Roll. That is so hard to believe. And we're dedicating the first hour to him with Sally Hodell, an author who's penned a book called Destined to Die Young, a fascinating story about the King. Later on in the hour, our friend Ron Strauss will be joining us. He was the captain of the Lisa Marie, Elvis's jet. Then later, next hour, we have John Craman, who is the professor of the Mecum Auction. We're going to learn all about cars and that great auction that comes to your town probably soon during the next year. And joining us to close out the show is Crystal Gayle. And that's all coming up this week, live nationwide and around the world with Ron Senge today. We'll be right back.
The holidays are here. Achieve gifting greatness when you give perfectly aged, tender, delicious Omaha steaks. The steak experts at Omaha Steaks have curated special gift packages to take the guesswork out of gifting and make you a holiday hero. Go to omahasteaks.com and take advantage of 50% off site-wide. Plus, use code TREAT at checkout to get an additional $40 off your order. Send an assortment of mouth-watering favorites guaranteed to impress, like the legendary Butcher's Cut Filet Mignon, air-chilled boneless chicken, ultra juicy burgers, even easy to prepare, ready in a flash comfort meals. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away, so shop early and beat the shipping rush. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout. Omaha Steaks is a gift from the heart, remembered with every unforgettable bite. Order with complete confidence today, knowing you're ordering the very best. Visit omahasteaks.com, get 50% off site-wide, plus use promo code TREAT at checkout to get that extra $40 off your order. Minimum order may be required.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Campbell here, serial entrepreneur. Let's make sure your current payroll provider isn't overcharging you, shall we? First, go to your payroll provider's website to see what you're currently paying. Oh, what's that? You can't clearly see your pricing because your vendor is running a temporary sale or making you call for a free quote? That's unfortunate. If you go to PatriotSoftware.com, you will instantly see our payroll pricing for companies with 1 to 100 employees. Well, there you go. At least now you know what you should be paying for payroll. Go to PatriotSoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Love, the end is near. I saw our face, the final grin. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case.
And we are back live, nationwide and around the world. You're listening to Ron Senge today, and that voice needs no introduction. That is the sound of Elvis Presley, and this weekend, Elvis would have turned, I can't believe this, 88 years old. And our next guest has been on the show with us in the past, but we didn't spend as much time as I wanted because of a time element, and we have brought her back on this weekend that we are remembering the King. And the name of the book is Destined to Die Young. And I have to tell you something. Now, I was in Elvis's company many times, and she's hit it right on the nose. There's no doubt about it. This book and what's contained in it should have been out a long time ago because it really tells the backstory of how a lot of people around the world thought Elvis died. Joining us right now is Sally Hodell. Hi, Sally. How are you? Happy New Year.
Hey, I'm great. Thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
Well, thank you for joining us again. I know you've been on a crazy schedule and that you're going to be in Graceland this weekend signing books along with our mutual friend Ron Strauss, who, of course, was the pilot of the Lisa Marie, and thank you for getting us together. Sally, this book, as I mentioned in the introduction, is really a book that sheds new light on the passing of Elvis. I happened to see a clip of Charlie Hodge recently. Of course, we lost him a few years ago, explaining a lot of the reasons why Elvis Presley was on medicated drugs. And you outlined that in this book. It's great how you do it, because you talked about the fact that a lot, if not the majority, of the reasons that he, by birth, had inherited a lot of problems was the reason he was taking drugs to get rid of the pain. Tell us a little about it, because it included glaucoma, liver, an enlarged heart, COPD, arthritis, urinary tract infection, a megacolon, a twisted colon. There's hypertension. There was a lot of issues that he was born with.
Absolutely. You know, Elvis's story is always told as one of self-destruction. And what we know from studying these health issues, and really the root of them, you know, many of them are genetic in nature, that his story is absolutely one of survival and not self-destruction. You know, first survival through extreme poverty and then extreme fame. And then he was dealing with all these health issues that, you know, some of them they were aware of, some of them they weren't. You know, like an immune system disorder, they wouldn't have known how to treat that in the 70s, obviously. Today they're still difficult to treat, right? But by the time Elvis passes in 1977, and he has disease or disorder in 9 of the 11 systems of the body, and many of which you just mentioned. And they have been dismissed for decades as the end result of the prescription medication. And what the research shows is that at least 5 of those 9 were present prior to fame. There's evidence, there's testimony of them, most likely since birth. Like I said, they are genetic in nature. His maternal grandparents, Elvis's maternal grandparents, were first cousins. And that doubling of the gene pool, so to speak, created a lot of issues. And, you know, for me as a lifelong fan, even as a girl reading these books and studying Elvis and learning, I always wondered, why does he die in a similar way, similar age as his mother? You know, they both kind of suffer this 4-year period of degenerative health. And this really answers that question of why. They both had the same flawed genetic material because of that first cousin marriage, which we really see the implications in Gladys, his mother. And then she has 3 brothers who die, you know, age 46, 49, 58. Gladys passes at 46, all liver, heart, related issues. And then when it happens to Elvis, it stops being a coincidence because there's just so much evidence of it in the family tree.
As I told you before, Joe Esposito and I were very, very close. In fact, we were partners on several ventures. And he would always tell me that it goes beyond what you read in the newspaper because of these issues that, in some cases, he didn't even know of. Because, you know, when you're a rock and roll star or anything, you're in the public eye, the last thing you want to have anybody know is that you have some kind of a problem with your colon. And in fact, it was even, I guess, suggested to him one time to have a colostomy, which of course in the mid-70s, and I have a member of my family that was posed that question, it was crazy. I mean, you know, you're not going to put a jumpsuit on and have this thing connected to yourself. Resection was a possibility. He didn't want to do that, but he did have a toxic colon, which created an enormous uncomfortable situation, and you didn't want to discuss that with even the closest member, let alone your employees or the general public or the media.
Absolutely. You know, today we talk about health in a much more open way, right? There's celebrity endorsement for yogurt that helps your digestive system on TV all the time, but it certainly wasn't like that back in the day, and it certainly wasn't like that for men in the 70s. You know, Elvis was the head of that organization. He was, you know, people will say, well, the Memphis Mafia didn't talk about him being sick all the time. Well, he didn't talk to them about it, most likely, because he had to be that strong male. He had to be the boss. You know, there is a lot of that. And again, the colon problem in particular, always written off because the prescription medication absolutely would have slowed down his digestive system. But there is testimony of him having this problem in Lauderdale Court, so in the high school years. And then we have Annie Presley now on record, who was very close with Gladys when Elvis was growing up. And it was a problem from birth, that Gladys struggled with Elvis and constipation and all of that from the time he was born and as a toddler. So we know it was a lifelong problem. And we also know it caused a lot of pain for Elvis long before we really see the effects of it, you know, because in the late 70s, we see the bloated stomach and all of that. But as early as, I believe, 1971, he writes his TCB oath. And in that oath, he talks about a variety of things, but one of the last things he says is freedom from constipation and the pain associated with it. So if we think of 71 as Elvis the way it is and how, you know, dynamic he is in that concert performance, so active in comparison to even Aloha in 73, where he really doesn't move very much, he was experiencing that pain even in 71, and it becomes a problem, and we see it in his performances as he becomes you know, less active, really, on stage.
And the early to mid-70s, there was no such thing as an MRI to detect this. Again, someone in my family suffers from Crohn's disease, and all of the symptoms that you're talking about in the book is very similar to Crohn's disease.
Absolutely, and they wouldn't have identified that back then.
No.
They certainly, like you said, they didn't have an MRI yet. They didn't have a CAT scan yet. They were relying on x-rays. Multiple people said, including Dr. Nick, that they didn't know how bad it was until the autopsy. So they really didn't know what they were dealing with. There's all sorts of inflammation issues related to Elvis, you know, from the colon problem, but then through his immune system issue, we know he suffered from something called hypogammaglobulinemia, which means his immune system couldn't fight infection. So he was routinely sick and often had fevers and struggled with those kinds of things. And again, you know, the stories were always, well, Elvis is pretending to be sick to get more medication, but he really was sick and his body couldn't fight infection. So the inflammation that would have come from that problem, in addition to the inflammation that would have been created by the digestive issue, you know, which we all know, we understand inflammation now in a way that we didn't before.
Right.
When Elvis talks about how he had pain all over his body, he absolutely would have. He would have been in tremendous pain just from the inflammation, the arthritic pain it would have created, and things like that.
And a young man getting glaucoma in his mid-30s was unusual, and you say arthritis. I mean, it's not that these things don't take place in the young, but he certainly didn't look like the type of person that would be stricken with something that would debilitate him as it did. And if somebody's listening to the show right now, they're going to say, some people will say, why are you talking about this? Why are you saying this? Because, you know, let the poor guy rest in peace and quit talking about something that was very private in his life. Why would you talk about it after he's gone? The very simple reason is to defend the reason that possibly people may have about him being an all-and-out drug addict, because the medication he was taking was for ailments that people didn't even know he had when he was alive.
Absolutely. I mean, it changes his entire story, again, from one of self-destruction to survival, which is unbelievable, because Elvis' story is already incredible, right? His rise to fame from the type of poverty that he grew up in is unbelievable. The way he culturally shifted the universe is remarkable. You know, I always talk a lot about how I want Elvis to be thought of as a historical figure, because he culturally shifted the universe in the same kind of impact as a Henry Ford or a Thomas Edison in terms of changing things radically, but he did it in a cultural way. And if we're going to look at him as a historical figure, we need to get away from this idea of, you know, Elvis took too many pills and died in the bathroom, because unfortunately for young people, that might be all they know. So if we can talk about his contributions more, that's number one. But number two, if we can explain, again, his demise as one of survival, you know, it is really important. It does impact his legacy. It does affect how he's remembered. And he did. He suffered through a lot of disease and disorder. And yes, he turned to the medication. And yes, the medication becomes a problem at times. You know, we also have to understand the limitation of some of that medication in the 1970s. They didn't have Lunesta and Ambien, for example, just to treat something like insomnia. So they're giving him much stronger things that have tolerance issues and addiction issues. You know, all of that is a very real problem too. But at the heart of it, Elvis was a very sick man. And I think it's incredibly important layer of his story.
I do too. We're going to pause for a second. My very special guest is my friend, Sally Hodel. The name of the book is Destined to Die Young, the backstory of Elvis Presley and the reason he passed away at such a young age. And we're going to be right back with another segment on this, the weekend of the anniversary of Elvis' 88th birthday, January 8th, 1935. And there's more to come with Ron Segee today.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
This is a St. Jude moment.
Ashton was a high-level athlete, and in an instant, your world flips, and your healthy 5-year-old competitive cheerleader has a brain tumor. And the physician was like, your best option is St. Jude. Receiving treatment that was life-saving for our child and knowing that that treatment would be of no cost to us was a huge weight lifted.
Learn more at stjude.org.
Time is the one thing that we want more of. Without the donors, I wouldn't have my Audrey. They take care of our housing. They take care of our food. In addition to the best medical treatment that my daughter could ever have. So it allows me to focus on my daughter and getting her better.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
But I can't help.
We're back live nationwide and around the world. We are now recognizing this weekend, January 8th, the 88th birthday of Elvis Presley, of course, dying at 42. He's been gone longer than he was with us. Our special guest is my friend Sally Hodel. She's got a brand new book out called Destined to Die Young. It's the backstory of Elvis and why he probably died back in August of 1977. And she's this weekend at Graceland signing that book. If you get a chance to get it. It's a remarkable book. It does really tell the story of Elvis's terrible inherited ailments that he tried to correct medically, which ultimately got him hooked on the medication. Sally, one of the things that they say happened was that he had, and I'm not probably going to pronounce this right, Reiter's syndrome?
Yeah, that is one possibility. It's all correlated to the immune system and his eye trouble, right? Because the glaucoma and the swelling, and it's all correlated. You know, Dr. Nick identified some of these things in his book, but he really didn't talk about how they can snowball, how one thing leads to the next. And that's really what this book does, is it draws those lines and connects those things. A lot of it is genetic in nature, like we're talking about. Inflammation is an issue. And again, a lot of these things, like the glaucoma that you mentioned, they are geriatric in nature. So it was very bizarre for Elvis to have these things at such a young age. You know, he has glaucoma by 38. You know, the other issue that Elvis has is adrenal glands. It is impossible to function without your adrenal glands. They did do some supplementing and trying to correct that, but we now know how important the adrenal glands are in a way they didn't back then. And that's why I say without the medication, there's no way Elvis could have been Elvis those last couple of years.
You know, all of the bad things that happened to Dr. Nick after his death, really, after you read this book, you see that he really didn't have much of a choice. Esposito used to tell me, hey, Ron, you know, when he wanted something, if you didn't give it to him, he'd just get it someplace else, whether it was drugs or cars or a guitar that he wanted. In the book, there is a drug protocol on tour. I won't run down the whole thing, but it tells what happens at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, an hour before performance, moments before the performance, immediately after performance, bedtime, if needed. In the beginning, first, you have a voice shot, vitamins, meds for dizziness, a laxative, 3 appetite suppressants, testosterone. And that's what is fascinating about it, because he always talked about, and not necessarily him, but the people around him said about enormous pressure put on him from touring. Now, Sally, I know he did a lot of shows, and I know they really bled him really pretty good in Vegas, even 3 shows a day, which is unheard of. But when you look at other entertainers at the time, they were on the road more often. the concerts that they did actually on stage without the warm-up act and everything like he had with the Sweet Inspirations and the travel arrangements that he had versus being on a bus. You know, he had his own airplane, or he had it relatively easy. He didn't have to go in for a sound check, nothing. Why was it considered such a pressing schedule for him? Because when you compare it to other rock and roll bands at the time, not only groups, but individual singers. I mean, Willie Nelson lives on the road in a bus in a very, very archaic fashion. Why was that considered such a stress? Because of all the entertainers at that time, I think he had the best deal of all of them.
In some ways, because like you're saying, the travel is top-notch, right? Like,
right.
He has all that worked out to a T, and it's a very well-oiled machine, especially when the Lisa Marie, the airplane, gets involved, right? Because touring, just it happens like clockwork. But it was a grueling schedule. Like, when he plays Vegas there, you know, especially in the first several years, he's playing two shows a night for 30 days, 60 shows in 30 days. That's very strenuous, and then it's incredibly strenuous for someone like Elvis, who has all these health issues. So we know that he takes more medication when he's touring versus when he's not. We know that, you know, especially those last couple of years, you can look at those tours beginning, and he does okay for the first couple of weeks, and then it starts to go downhill, and it's really the wear and tear on his body and the fact that his body can't handle it. And, you know, the same was true in the 1950s when he's crisscrossing the South, you know, 54, 55, and beginning of 56, I believe it's 55, that he collapses, you know, after one of the shows, an extreme exhaustion. So I think those movie years really saved him in a lot of ways, because there was routine and structure to his schedule, because when he is on the road, it is so hard on his failing immune system, on the digestive issues. Touring is hard work, and it is hard on the body. Bands in the 70s were touring. Well, people like Ozzy Osbourne, you know, were touring like crazy, and they were doing serious drugs and drinking a ton, and they'd live to tell. And here Elvis was taking prescription medication, and he dies at 42.
Yeah.
So again, it's just one of those red flags that clearly there was much more wrong with Elvis, you know, than just what he was taking.
You know, when you did a show like Elvis, you know, if you were Perry Como, you could do 10 shows a day and never get out of breath. But certainly, Elvis's dynamic stage shows were very difficult to do because of the energy there. So totally understand that. And I know after the Aloha from Hawaii show, he was pretty depleted from energy after, you know, only going on a diet with only 500 calories a day. Death, they say, would have come slowly if it was an OD. You have in the book that he would have probably started to faint, being able to maybe recoup, organize himself instead of being found the way he was. That's why probably the heart attack was quick. And, of course, the Valsalva technique added to it.
Even the medication he was taking for a reason is going to be hard on your body over time. But there is no evidence of his death being an overdose death at all. It was a very quick heart-related issue. If you die of an overdose, it's a slower death. Heart-related event, which caused him to stand up and fall forward, and he died rather quickly. Cardiac arrhythmia, you can debate what might have caused that. It's about the Valsalva maneuver, which is when you're straining, whether it's in childbirth or it's an issue with scuba diving, and certainly if you're in the bathroom, and that can change the pressure, you know, the blood pressure rather radically, and it can create cardiac arrhythmia, and it can lead to your death. And since we know he had genetic heart disease in his family, and we know that there was this liver-related issue, you know, all of that is at play.
He would have died probably around that age anyway, because these ailments went unaddressed, were not able to be cured. Certainly, the inability to correct the intestinal problem, the enlarged heart, the fatty liver, which, of course, Tylenol can give you, he probably would have died anyway if he didn't have these other problems corrected.
I think so, because when you look at this family tree and you see his mother, 46, his uncle, 58, another uncle, 49, another uncle, 46, and they all suffer from the same type of ailments that Elvis suffers from. So I think he would have passed young anyways, because it's such a delicate topic, but also because it's Elvis Presley. I wanted to make sure that he got that level of journalistic integrity with this project.
And you did it too. Sally, if we're not at Graceland getting a signed copy, now I happen to have, ladies and gentlemen, a signed copy, okay, so I'm I don't even have to go to Graceland to get this. But where can you get the book, Sally?
Absolutely. All the copies ordered from my website will be signed, and that's ElvisAuthor.com. And of course, it's also on Amazon if that's easier for people. But those books are not signed.
Thank you so much for joining. You know, you're always welcome here, and I can't wait till you come down here to Florida and we can break bread together and possibly be joined by Ron Strauss, who is the other book that Sally was responsible for, and he's coming up on our show later on this hour, and he was the pilot of the Lisa Marie. Sally, thanks for joining us, and I look forward to your return and seeing you soon.
Thank you so much. Let's make that happen. Right. Appreciate it.
This weekend, remembering the King of Rock and Roll on his 88th birthday, had he been not stricken at the age of 42 back in 1977. And there's more to come with Ron Seggi today.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. end of Lone Street, that heartbreak hotel.
And coming up after the break, we'll be talking to Ron Strauss, the pilot of the Lisa Marie.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
USA News Update. New York Democrat Hakeem Jeffries is making history as the first black lawmaker to lead a party in Congress.
The American people, understandably, after the events of this week, recognize that the Congress is at a fork in the road and are asking the question, what direction will we choose?
All 212 Democrats unanimously voted for Jeffries in the final vote for House Speaker early today after Republicans took 15 ballots to finally elect Kevin McCarthy. President Biden is congratulating Kevin McCarthy on becoming Speaker of the House. Biden released a statement saying the American people expect their leaders to govern in a way that puts their needs above all else, and that is what we need to do. A Virginia teacher is showing improvement after being shot in the chest by a 6-year-old student yesterday. Police indicated there was an altercation between the teacher and the student before he shot her with a handgun. Dave Collins, USA News.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Should you have born to bought me a silk suit and put luggage in my hand? And I woke up high over Albuquerque on a jet to the promised land. But working on a T-bone steak, I'll haul a car and flying over to the Golden State. And I was in 13 minutes, he was sitting at the terminal gate. Sing no charity and come down easy, pass it to the terminal zone. Cut your engines and cool your wings and let me make it to the telephone.
And we are back live nationwide and all around the world. You're listening to Ron Segi today. Actually, what you're listening to is Elvis Presley with a great song that he recorded called Promised Land about flying on a jet. We have a very exciting guest to have on our show today. He was the first officer on the Lisa Marie. He has a book that's written about him called Destined to Fly, the story of pilot Ron Strauss from Iowa to Elvis. Joining us is Ron Strauss. Hi, Ron. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good. Thank you.
About a year or so ago, I was reading somewhere that you lived in Florida, and I told my producer, I said, you got to get a hold of Ron because I need to talk to him about his career with Elvis and in the military. And sure enough, I get a note from Sally Hodel, who's penned this book about you. First of all, I want to thank you for your service in the military and in the Air Force. You've had a remarkable career in the military. You were involved in a hijacking situation in Nicaragua. All of this time that you spent serving our country, but 2 years in the employment of Elvis Presley is probably one of the most interesting remembrances of your career. How did this whole thing start? Because I know you always wanted to fly an airplane, and you have flown some of the greats, including the Convair 880. How did it start for you?
Well, I started when I went in the Air Force at 17. I started out as an aircraft and engine mechanic, a B-47. And then I worked myself up to crew chief, and then I volunteered for the 141 to fly as flight engineer. And then I got out of the Air Force and took the VA training, and that's where it all started.
I mentioned about being a big fan of the Convair 880. I remember when I was just 11 years old, I took a Constellation, which I'm very proud to say I flew in, out to Arizona with my parents. On the way back, they said, there's a jet you're going to be flying. I said, oh, man, a jet. And I went in that Convair 880. From that day on, I loved that airplane, and you loved it, too.
Yes, I really did. I flew the 880, the 880M, and the 990.
What was the difference between the 880 and the 990?
Well, there was quite a bit of difference. The 880, well, it was a clean wing. It had no slats or anything. And then the 880M, they put the center tank in it, carried about 10,000 pounds, and they had leading edge flaps. And then the 990, that was really a cruiser. We descended the 0.92 Mach.
Wow. The Convair 80, which of course is not in service anymore, they were the Convair's answer to the Boeing 707 and the DC-8 that burned 1,700 gallons per hour of fuel. It took 2,200 gallons just to take off. Elvis bought a used one that was used by Delta Airlines. I think he paid $250,000 for it and then ended up spending $1 million on redecorating it. And you were chosen by Vernon in particular to be the pilot. All the flight records from the time our guest flew that plane are in this book, including the contract that you had with Vernon. When you first got the job, I know back in the 50s, and you told this to Elvis one time, you weren't an Elvis Presley fan, but you certainly became one after you got this job. What was it like flying the game?
It was super. I mean, he was a great boss. He treated us super well all the time. Never had a problem at all with him. None whatsoever.
But one of the problems is you are on call, unlike any other commercial pilot in the world, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. And that had to take a toll on the family, but you always had to be available.
Yes, that's true.
How did your wife handle that? Because you had a family.
She handled it better than most women, I think, could have. Because, you know, I was very disciplined with the kids and the family. When I would leave on a trip, she could handle it no problem at all. No problem.
What about wanted the plane itself. I understand he wanted the bottom silver, like Air Force One, but wasn't able to get it for some reason or another. But he was still afraid of flying. And he made the comment to you one time. He said, look, I still have a fear of this. Don't take orders from anybody else saying, let's go, no matter what the weather is or what's a minor problem on the airplane. He wanted to be absolutely sure that plane was safe. Was it airworthy because it was an older plane? And, of course, airframe had been used several times. Was it a pretty safe airplane?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we had it ferried from Wichita to Dallas, Fort Worth, and had the interior ripped apart and redone. And then we flew it to Long Beach and had some maintenance done on there. Then we flew it to Nashville, had some maintenance done there, and it was certified. And then we flew it to Memphis. It was a great airplane. I mean, it was in perfect shape.
I talked to many pilots that I knew over the years, and they said, well, you could always tell when the Lisa Marie was coming in because of the trail that it left. Was it environmentally restricted to some airports, Ron?
No, it wasn't restricted. We could go any place we wanted. Just sometimes we wouldn't take it into the smaller airport, but it did smoke a lot, big time.
Everybody recognizes the name Milo High as being a pilot of Elvis's airplane. He only flew the Hound Dogs, the Jetstreams, never flew the Lisa Marie. It was yourself, Elwood David, and Jim Manny, who was the flight engineer. But you really struck a chord with Elvis a couple of times. The first time was when he asked you if you were a fan of his in the early 50s, and you said, no, not at all. And another time was when he came in with, and this was not uncommon, with a gun in his belt, and you asked him if it was loaded, and he said, why would I carry it if it wasn't? And you said, well, you got to be careful with it because at high altitudes, a pressurized cabin would be in a lot of danger. And he said, you worry about the flying, I'll worry about the gun. He was sensible, but he took risks, did he not?
Oh, he did. And that's true about the gun.
He always came in the cabin to say hello, see if anything was needed. Very cordial gentleman, of course. We all know that. You didn't have that kind of relationship with the colonel. Never said anything to you, did he?
I've never met the colonel. I saw him in Tahoe gambling, but we didn't have anything to do with Parker. We flew him one time from Palm Springs to Tampa, and that was it. But otherwise, we just have nothing to do with him.
Did you ever have any type of emergency on the plane?
Nope, never did.
A great story is when you went for a bank loan. Tell that story, going down to the bank president.
Well, you know, that was pretty cool because, you know, sometimes these jobs work out well and sometimes they don't. It was working out great for me. So I asked Elvis, I said, hey, Elvis, is there anything you would change in the airplane or crew or anything? No, he said, just keep doing exactly the way you are. So then I'd never, ever done any financing with Elvis. It was always with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then his dad talked to Elvis every night. So I went in, I had a stack of bills, and I went into the mansion. And then I asked him, I says, you know, Mr. Presley, is there anything you'd change on the airplane or crew or anything? He said, no, just keep doing exactly like you're doing. Well, I was renting a townhouse, and I decided to, at that time, my wife and I decided to buy a house. So when I talked to Mr. Presley, I asked him, I said, do you know where I could borrow some money? And he says, well, just go down to the bank. Well, I was really wanting him to grease the skids a little bit and call the banker
right,
and tell him I was coming down. But no, he didn't. He said, just go down to the bank and tell him who the hell you are. And I thought, well, that's strange. So the next day or so, I went down to the bank, walked in, and I said, hey, I'd like to see the president. And he says, well, what about? I said, well, I'd like to borrow some money on a home purchase. And he says, well, Mary Lou or whoever it was does all that. Just go over and see her. And I says, well, no, I really want to see the president. He says, I told you, the president doesn't do the home loans. It's strictly Mary Lou. And I said, would you tell the president that Elvis Presley's pilot is here? So he goes in there and the bank president yells out, hey, Ron, get in here. Come on in here. So we sat down and we shot the breeze for about 5 minutes. Then he says, well, I guess you want some money. And I said, yeah. He said, how much you want? And I said, $73,000 or thereabout. And he says, well, how much interest do you want to pay? And I said, just as very little as possible. And he said, well, when do you want the money? And I said, well, as quick as I can get it. So he threw this contract over to me. It's a blank sheet, nothing on it except, you know, the first party to the second party and all that stuff. So then I threw it back at the president. I says, I'm not going to sign that. And he says, well, why not? And I said, it's like signing a blank check.
Right.
He says, let me tell you, Ron, Elvis has got a floating checking account with $1 million in it. And he says, a whole bunch more. He says, you think I'm going to risk that for $73,000? I signed a thing, and a couple days later, he had checked. $73,000. That was it.
I think that was a great story. We're going to pause for a second. Our guest, Ron Strauss. He's got a book that was written about him by Sally Hodel. It's out right now. Destined to Fly, the story of pilot Ron Strauss. From Iowa to Elvis, he flew the Lisa Marie. And Ron and I will be right back with more with Ron Sedgy today.
This is a St. Jude moment.
Ashton was a high-level athlete. And in an instant, your world flips. And your healthy 5-year-old competitive cheerleader has a brain tumor. And the physician was like, your best option is St. Jude. Receiving treatment that was life-saving for our child and knowing that that treatment would be of no cost to us was a huge weight lifted.
Learn more at stjude.org.
Time is the one thing that we want more of. Without the donors, I wouldn't have my Audrey. They take care of our housing. They take care of our food. In addition to the best medical treatment that my daughter could ever have. So it allows me to focus on my daughter and getting her better.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April. My husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW. Need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product. Great people. Josie. It works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I need to do my taxes. Are there any self-help options online?
Doing taxes yourself? IRS.gov has many self-service tax tools, and they're all just a click away. Prepare and file your taxes online using FreeFile. Use our calculator to estimate your tax withholding. Order a tax transcript. Apply for an employer identification number. Check your refund status, too. IRS.gov, your 24/7 federal tax resource.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Today, live all across the USA and around the world. My guest is here. Ron Strauss is his name. He was the first officer on the Lisa Marie, Elvis Presley's private airplane. He did it for just a tad under 2 years, between 1975 and 1977, upon the untimely death of Elvis. Ron, you were flying out to Hawaii one time, and you asked my buddy, Joe Esposito, if your wife could go with you because there were four empty seats on the plane. And I can picture Joe saying, I spent millions of hours with them. Those seats are filled from Oakland all the way out to Hawaii. A little later on, when you were in flight, Elvis comes up into the cockpit, and he asks if everything's all right, and you said okay. But he asked you, what about your wife? Tell that story.
Well, it was pretty neat. You know, when we found out we were going to Hawaii, I called Joe, and I says, hey, Joe, can I take my wife on this trip? And he says, well, he says, you can, but he says, the problem, you know, the airplane originally, I guess, would carry 120 passengers. When Elvis got done with it, it would only carry 29 passengers. And he says, there's four open seats out of Memphis, but he says, at Oakland, we're overbooked. And I says, well, are you sure? And he says, oh, I'm positive. Well, there was four open seats out of Oakland. That's where we stopped and picked up fuel. So halfway to Honolulu, Elvis comes in the cockpit. Hey, how's it going, gang? And I said, well, the weather's good. We'll be there in 2.5 hours or thereabouts. Everything's going good. No problem. He says, Ron, I understand you're a little bit, well, I won't use the words he used. So I'll say ticked off.
Okay.
And I says, no, Elvis, I'm fine. No problem at all. No, he says, I'm madder than hell. He says, your wife, Betty, should be on this flight. And I says, oh, maybe we'll catch you next time. No. He says, have her out here tomorrow. I'm paying first-class airline ticket, Memphis to Honolulu to Memphis. No problem at all. And I says, no, Elvis, I'm not going to do that. And he says, well, let me ask you something. He says, do you like flying for me? I says, yes, sir. He says, I told you, none of this sir stuff.
Right.
It's Elvis and Ron. That's it. And I said, okay. And he says, do I pay you enough? And I says, yep, no problem. He says, well, let me tell you something. If she's not out here tomorrow, I'll replace your butt. Well, I wasn't going to take the chance. So I called her and I told her, I says, hey, pack your bags. Elvis is paying for everything. First class airline ticket. She walked up, got reservations, of course, that night. And then she flew first class from Memphis nonstop to Honolulu. And she spent 4 or 5 days out there, and then she had to get back to her job and the kids. So a first-class airline ticket all the way back, because we didn't know when we were coming. So we came back, I don't know, 5 days or thereabouts after she did, and Elvis came in the cockpit, same thing. He says, hey, did Betty enjoy her stay in Honolulu? I says, oh, absolutely, and thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And he says, nothing's too good for my troops. So I got back to Memphis, and I went to the mansion. I had a stack of bills. I was talking to Vernon. Went through each one, you know, pay this and pay that. And then I had this airline ticket, and I was really bashful, I guess, about giving it to him because it was expensive. So I gave it to Vernon. He says, Nancy, just pay it. And I says, but Mr. Presley, don't you want to look at that? No. He says, I already talked to Elvis. No problem. Pay him. And he did. Wrote me out a check. He did. She gave it to me.
I'm sure Joe E. got hell for that one.
Yeah. Well, Joe was a great guy.
Oh,
he treated
yeah.
us fantastic.
He is. He flew cross-country one time to be at a surprise birthday party from Las Vegas, where he was living at the time, to Orlando, Florida. Now, Joe's the best. I'm looking at a picture of him, me, and Elvis on my wall right now.
Oh, good.
How come you were selected of the flight crew to deal with Vernon? Because he could be pretty stingy at times, could he not?
Oh, he could. He was tight as he could be. Well, that's just the way it was. I mean, I worked entirely with Vernon, never with Elvis on finance, never.
You were at Graceland the day that Elvis passed away. You were there in the morning, again, back in the office behind the mansion, getting some bills paid with Vernon, and he was in poor health. And then you went out and took a little ride on the go-kart and saw something very unusual, and that was Vernon being helped back to the mansion. And you thought that he looked very, very drawn and ill until you got home. Tell us about that, Ron.
We were going to Portland, Maine that night. Well, when I got the bills paid by Vernon, then I went out and I was driving Elvis's go-kart. I asked him, you know, months before that, if we could drive that. And he says, absolutely. And he had some wicked go-karts. Boy, they were wicked. And I was out driving those and having a blast. Then I thought, well, it's time to go home and get some sleep because tonight may turn into a very long night. And so then I saw Nancy escorting Vernon into the mansion. And I guess at that time they told him about Elvis. And then I went home, and my daughter met me at the door, and she's just crying big time. Elvis died. Elvis died. No, no, it's probably Vernon. Well, I was wrong.
Could you see it coming, Ron? Joe used to tell me, and James Burton, his guitar player, would say, you saw him getting ill for a long time. It was Elvis. He was too big to die. Did you see it coming?
You know, Elvis put on some weight on the end, but we didn't see it coming at all. It was a complete shock to me.
It was a shock to everybody. You know, when you're there all the time, seeing somebody fail in health isn't quite as obvious as people that don't see someone for long lengths of time. That's why I asked you that question, because you literally saw him virtually every day, especially when you were touring.
We did see him frequently when we were touring. We saw him just about every day, but I didn't see that coming at all. It was a total shock to me.
You were asked to stay on after he passed away, and you declined. Why was that, Ron? I'm sure the excitement of doing it with Elvis was gone.
After a couple of weeks or so after his death, I had a visit with Vernon and got some bills all straight. And I told him I'd gotten hired back with the airlines. And so he says, I want you to stay employed here for at least a year, and I'll pay you the same amount. And I says, no, thank you, Mr. Presley. I said, don't send me any checks, because if you do, I'll just tear them up. I'm going back with the airlines in a couple of weeks, and that's it. But I said, I'll spend, you know, a year here, and I'll help you, but I won't accept any pay for it.
Elvis liked your yellow Corvette. Did he ever buy you a car?
No, but I bought that yellow Vette, which I still have, and I bought it with the tips he gave me.
Christmas bonuses. Ron, I could talk to you for hours, and the name of the book is Destined to Fly, the story of pilot Ron Strauss, from a small little town there, Fonda, Iowa, to Elvis Presley piloting as the first officer of the Convair 880, the Lisa Marie, probably the second most famous plane in the United States, the first being Air Force One, and then Lisa Marie, which is on display across the street from Graceland. And that plane really wasn't ready to fly when you ferried it back to Memphis because it needed some instruments. And so you had a ferry permit and you had to fly low. But that was a very unique experience, knowing that that was the last time that puppy was going to be in the air.
Yeah.
Well, Ron, I've been trying to talk to you for well over a year. I'm glad we were able to put it together. Anytime you want to come back and chat more, you are always welcome here. Get the book by Sally Hodell. It's called Destined to Fly, the story of pilot Ron Strauss, from Iowa to Elvis. Ron, thank you for joining us. Two Rons don't make a right, but I think we pulled it off here.
Hello. Thanks. My pleasure, Ron.
My pleasure. And there's more to come with Ron Sedgie today.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Has anyone ever given you $15,000 in free silver? Well, then listen up. First of all, the smartest minds of the financial world are buying precious metals with both fists. Central bankers invest and manage hundreds of billions of dollars for the treasuries of countries. And central bankers just added gold to their holdings for the fifth month in a row. So far this year, central banks have added over 300 tons of gold to their holdings. So what are you waiting for? Follow the smart money. You can buy physical gold and silver with your IRA, SEP IRA, or 401k retirement account. Goldgate Capital sells physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA. 100% insured. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. If you're among the first 100 callers today and tell them Wainwright sent you, they will give you up to $15,000 in free silver on your first order. Call now. 855-770-GOLD. 855-770-GOLD. That's 855-770-GOLD. Or go to goldgatecapital.com.
That wraps up hour number one of Ron Segee today, but we have another hour to go. Our first hour we dedicated to the King of Rock and Roll. January 8th would have marked his 88th birthday. That seems so hard to believe. We want to thank Sally Hodel for joining us in her book, Destined to Die Young, and also Ron Strauss, who was the pilot of the jet airplane that Elvis had, the Lisa Marie. Next hour, from the Mecum Auctions, the professor. This guy knows more about cars than you can imagine. John Crayman's going to be here. And then one of our dear friends from the world of country music, Crystal Gayle. And that's all coming up next hour, live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Segee today. Stick with us because we got another big hour to go, and it's all right here, nationwide and around the world. We'll be right back.